Hey, everybody, what's going on? It is Thursday. My gosh, man. Like, I haven't even known what day it is all week, but I know today is Thursday, November 3rd. I know this because this morning I woke up and it was my daughter's 16th birthday. So I had to know the date and I kind of had to know the day of the week. 16, man. I can't believe my fourth child, my last kid, my baby is 16 years old. Crazy, man. Really
is. Birthday.
Happy birthday. Shout out to Julia. Hey, let me have a minute here to mention some of our great sponsors and then let's get cooking, man. Let's get rolling. 7 Mile Casino, 7milecasino.com. What I always tell everybody about 7 Mile Casino is this. When you decide you want to go play blackjack or poker or table games, and you start to think to yourself, where can I do that in San Diego that is convenient and it's not tough to get to and all these, like, you're not going to want to head all the way out east. Sometimes I've gone to some of these casinos where, like, they don't even let you drink at the casinos because the roads are so windy and they're so dark. You don't want to schlep all the way out there. 7 Mile Casino is 7 minutes south of downtown San Diego, right off the 5. I mean, you cannot beat the location. Then you got blackjack, poker, table games on one side, completely smoke-free environment, Sammy's Restaurant and Bar on the other, the beautiful Bay of Chula Vista. You're like, okay, I never come down here, and I didn't know this was even here. So if you've had that experience already, great, you're going to come back. If you have not yet been, I promise you this, it is the best place to play because convenience, no smoking, incredible food, all the table games that you love, 7 Mile Casino, 7milecasino.com, and we appreciate being in business with 7 Mile Casino. All right, Alex, we're kind of getting in now in these last couple of days before your wedding on Sunday. Today's Thursday. You took your iThrive dose of weight loss on Tuesday. Where are we at going into the weekend?
Where are we at as far as number goes? I think we're, what was the exact number today? Like 15, 15.5, somewhere around there. Yeah. So it's working. It's working good, man. It's
8 weeks and almost 16 pounds Alex has lost. This is this incredible weight loss product that is A, guaranteed, and B, FDA approved. And all you have to do is go to iThriveMD.com, 858-240-1497, or make it even easier on yourself. Just go to our website, KaplanandCrew.com, click on iThrive. You'll get all the information. Good luck losing all this weight like Alex has just recently lost in advance of his wedding. It works, man. It really does. Suppresses your appetite, dude. You don't want to eat as much because we all overeat. Okay, let me keep going. Speaking of overeating, one of the main reasons I overeat is our friends at Torii Holistics. Okay, because what'll happen to me is my day will come to an end. I might, you know, maybe puff on something or eat something, and then I can't stop myself from eating. But actually, we did a podcast yesterday with a company, and I got this product. It's called Kikoko. And one of the things that the bud tender at Torii Holistics told me was this will actually, you won't want to eat as much. This will not give you the munchies. So I'm down for that. Hey, look, I was in Torii Holistics yesterday. The stores are awesome. California Holistics is great. California down in Chula Vista, Torii up in Sereno Valley. Use our promo code GOTYOURBACK. Alex, do you happen to have in front of you the email that Ruthie sent about the peanut butter drive that they're doing and the whole Got Your Back campaign that they've got? Do you have that or do you not have that?
Yeah. The peanut butter drive is all month starting, well, 2 days ago, all the way through the 30th. Sixth annual peanut butter drive benefiting Got Your Back San Diego, a local nonprofit that helps feed the food insecure kids of San Diego. Bring any 16-ounce plastic jar of peanut butter and receive a penny pre-roll. Some brands participating are Jeter's, Bright Labs, Gelato, Classics, Good Joints, Surprise, Surprise, and Torii Herb Co.
Okay, Herb. What's up, Herb? How you living? All right. Hey, Torii Holistics, California Holistics, use our promo code Got Your Back and bring in that peanut butter and you get that those pre-rolls for a penny. So, all right, let me keep going here. Penske San Diego. This is really exciting because you see, the thing is, we've been working with Mazda of Escondido for the last year and change. Maybe it's been longer than that. I have three Mazdas that I got from Mazda of Escondido. And then Browner and I went and did an appearance at Lexus of San Diego. And both of these dealerships are owned by Penske. And I think everybody in the Penske world started to say, well, why are we only promoting one brand when we've got all these brands in town? Do you realize that Penske San Diego has 12 dealerships? So whatever product it is you're looking for, and I'll read them to you. Acura, Audi, BMW, Honda, Lexus, Mini, Mazda, Mercedes, and Toyota. So pretty much any brand that you would be looking at, Penske San Diego has. Shop Penske San Diego by going to PenskeSanDiego.com. That's PenskeSanDiego.com. And glad to be in business with the entire mishbucha, not just one of the 12. PenskeSanDiego.com. And lastly, Let me just mention, shout out to my man, Gary Cooper, 858-376-1299, 858-376-1299. Never make a move in real estate without first talking to Gary. Reason being is he's given you great explanations this week. Why is now a good time to buy, Gary? Because the prices have come down. Yes, the interest rates have come up, but when the interest rates come down, the prices are going to go up. Now's the time to buy if you can afford to buy, because eventually you'll get to refinance and you'll wind up saving yourself a lot of money and you'll already be in the market. So take advantage. Talk to Gary, Mountain Trust Realty, 858-376-1299. Let's start the show. Hey, great friends. What's happening? It is Thursday afternoon. Kaplan and crew taken to the radio airwaves of 1090. So we are in San Diego, but broadcasting through San Diego, Orange County, LA, the Central Coast, you know, the mega market. We're in the 7 Mile Casino Studios, 7milecasino.com. So for those of you that are listening on radio, glad you guys are here with us today. For those of you that are watching on YouTube, make sure you get involved in the YouTube chat. It's the live chat that goes on during the show. Everybody's involved. And also, don't forget, subscribe. If you're not a subscriber to our YouTube channel yet, we're asking you to make sure you hit that subscribe button, because when we send out stuff on YouTube, you get a push notification on your phone, assuming your notifications are turned on. So hit the subscribe button. We're trying to get to 7,500 subscribers by the end of the year. We got 2 months to do it. So for those of you that are watching on YouTube, all the chatlins, glad you guys are here. Oh, and by the way, hey, chatlins, just a little notice here for you. This goes for you too, Grande and Brown, man. I made a confirmed date today with Captain Fathom from the Yacht America, the great friends slash chatlins, Kaplan and crew holiday party aboard the Yacht America is going to happen on Saturday, December 17th. Saturday, December 17th. So stay tuned for your chance to win your way onto the Yacht America and come party with us for our holiday party. One of potential two holiday parties that we're going to throw. So
two.
Yeah, I'm thinking about a second one.
Whoa.
I'm thinking about a second holiday party, because the holiday party on the Yacht America is awesome and everybody always has a great time, but it's super limited. You know, we can only bring like 75 people. So I was thinking about a second holiday party that is more of a landlubber kind of a party. You know what I'm saying? People don't like to get on boats. You like that?
Landlubber.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So, all right. So radio listeners, glad you're here. YouTube viewers, glad you guys are here. Tonight, television, Channel 4 San Diego. In fact, somebody was busting my balls yesterday, because did I tell you guys that on Sunday after the Rams game, I did a TV hit on Fox 11 in LA with Kyle Krasko, who used to be at KFMB in San Diego. Did I tell you guys that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you did.
And somebody was telling me like yesterday, they're giving me a hard time. Like, oh dude, you had to beg your way to get onto the post game. So I'm like, no, I didn't beg my way onto anything. It was actually kind of a pain in my ass. And they're like, oh, you just want to be on TV all the time. I'm like, no, I think we're on TV plenty. And so for those of you that are watching on TV tonight, Channel 4 San Diego, Channel 4 Santa Barbara, 118 in Orange County and in LA, if you've got Cox or Spectrum Cable. And then, of course, to all the audio podcasters who listen on your own time, glad you guys are here. All right, Grande, Brown Man, good afternoon, fellas. Today is our last broadcast of the week, because Alex is going to be doing wedding prep going into Sunday. I got to go to like some family related stuff tomorrow with the legal system. How do I phrase it? I got baby mama drama. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't have babies no more, but yes, you have baby mama drama.
I do. As a matter of fact, how about this? Like, this was like an emotional morning this morning. My daughter, who's my fourth child, my third daughter, dude, 16 years old today. 16. I look at this child, and I know other parents will feel this way. I look at this child and I still see a little baby. Like, I still see like a little 8-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 12-year-old. She's a 16-year-old girl who's turning into a young woman. And I got 11 days, guys, 11 days until this child gets a driver's license. So I'm giving everybody fair warning. I got 11 days. That's it. That's all I got.
That's great.
Yeah. So
you got a car lying around for her?
you know, I mean, listen, I had all these Mazdas and all these kids went off to college and now there's a bunch of cars sitting here and no driver.
Question, what kind of car does he have sitting around for her? Not if. Well,
the Mazdas. Yeah.
Yeah, I got the two Mazdas. And she likes my son's Mazda more than she likes my daughter's Mazda because my son's Mazda has like cloth seats and my daughter's has leather seats. And this kid's always wearing short shorts. And she's like, I can't have my legs stick to the leather seats.
Also, you need to prepare yourself. You're going to need a flow chart of who gets the car when all the children return.
You're so right. Because when they all come home for the Christmas holidays, Browner, I'm going to have at that point two cars
for four
with
people.
Four drivers.
Five, technically, if you add yourself.
Well, I'll have three cars for five drivers. So, yes, you're right. Going to need a flow chart because the one who's coming back from Boise is not driving down from Boise. And Justin, who's coming in from West Virginia, he not driving anything. And then Julia's or Jaden's going to get home from New Orleans and she's going to be like, that's my car. And my son's going to get home and he's going to go, that's my car. And my 16-year-old's going to go, no, that was your car, but now my car. Right. And then I'm going to be like, here's my keys. Just take my car and leave me the hell alone. Ugh.
So when I left, I
don't envy that.
When I left, when I left Oxnard, I brought, obviously it's not that far, like West Virginia far, Louisiana far. So, but I never went home for an entire break. Like I never went home for a winter break. I never went home for summer break. I just stayed in San Diego. Mm-hmm. So at what point are you as a parent? You're like, Justin, you're 25 years old. You got to stop coming home for summer break.
He only like, 22, but yes.
I know. But I'm saying like, is there a point as a parent where you're like, you got to stop coming home for summer?
Oh, okay. So, and I'm glad we're having this conversation to get started today because there's a lot of things I still want to get into sports-wise, but we only have a short period of time. So I'll just warm up by saying this. Alex, this summer, I'm trying to get Justin to not come home. Mm-hmm. Rather than come home for the summer, I want him to go to Pittsburgh, which is an hour away. Mm-hmm. I want him to room up with these dudes that I know, these college kids that I know. Don't ask me why I know these college guys. And I want him to work all summer in Pittsburgh. And he can do his football training in Pittsburgh. And I'd rather him stay in Pittsburgh for the summer. My daughter, Jillian, who's 20, she'll be 21 in May. Mm-hmm. Last summer, she came home. She kept her condo townhouse with her roommates in Boise. The roommates lived there. My daughter did not. But guess who paid for the entire summer of rent? Looking at him. You're looking at him.
It's kind of where I was asking. Like, right. Like there's finances elsewhere. Why are you here?
No, so that's my point.
You going to do it again?
No, I'm not. No, I'm not doing it again. This summer, I want Justin to go to Pittsburgh and work. I already have like a job lined up for him. Mm-hmm. And Jillian, I want her to stay in Boise this summer so she can work and do her thing and live in the place that we're paying for. Mm. Jaden from New Orleans, she can come home. It's her first summer.
Oh, it's first summer. Yeah.
Yeah. She can come home.
Yeah.
And isn't she in a dorm?
She is in a dorm. Yeah.
So that's different. Yeah. That's different. Yeah. When you have off campus housing, that comes out of your
pocket.
That's
why I never went back because I'm still paying rent.
Right.
You know, I never lived on dorm because I transferred. So I was like, I can't just pay whatever I'm paying and not live there.
That's
like,
the point.
It just didn't make sense to me.
I know. I can't tell you how much money I wasted this past summer.
Dude, this is why she should have kept kicking soccer balls, man.
Believe me. Hey, dude, you should see her now. She's like all yoked. She works in this gym, you know? And so she's working out every day in this gym and she's got trainers all around her. And I'm like, dude, you're in great shape. Put a soccer ball on your foot and get out there and play for the Boise soccer team.
Yeah.
She don't want no part of it. She's become a sorority girl, man.
Oh.
Yeah.
I ain't going to get you free room and board.
I know. Truth. All right, listen, we're just kicking things off here today from the 7 Mile Casino Studios, 7milecasino.com. So before we get into a bunch of other stuff, Alex, yesterday I started the show by asking you if you were getting nervous at all about Sunday and the big wedding. Mm-hmm. And yesterday you said no. Mm-hmm. Well, now we're one day closer to the actual wedding itself. Mm-hmm. Anything changing at all? Any nerves of any kind? And it doesn't have to just be nerves. It could be like, you know, increased responsibilities, people already coming into town, people asking you questions to things you don't know the answers to. Mm-hmm. Your fiance kind of giving it to you a little bit, you know? Tell me, where are we at?
Even less nervous than yesterday. I have such a busy day today with non-wedding stuff, just stuff I have to lock down before I get, because I'm not only is it like, am I all in on wedding Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But then I'm all in on Mini Moon Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So I'm like completely disconnecting from everything for 6 days. Mm-hmm. So I'm just preparing myself with this job, with other things that I have to do before I even can get to wedding stuff tomorrow. So right now I'm all in on like, okay, I gotta like work, you know? And then after today, I think I will be all in on wedding. And then I'm just in go mode. That's how I get. I just get in go mode. But everybody has told me like, just slow down and enjoy it, everything. So tomorrow I will be in go mode, but I will try to soak it all in. And if, even if it's like, you know, mundane, just got to get it done for the wedding stuff. Like I'm trying to, like last night, put pictures in frames, you know, Mar gave me a job. Like we're decorating the reception with like pictures of us throughout the reception. Mm-hmm. And you know, she's like, hey, you do this. And I was like, okay. So I just did it.
All right.
Yeah.
Browner, any last minute advice? Because, you know, today we're on the
By the way, you have no idea how many people have like been like, how weird is it that you are, that Scott and Browner keep talking about your wedding as they're going through like baby mama drama and they yeah. just keep telling you don't do it? Like,
correction. Yeah. I never said don't do it. Never said don't do it.
Not this week, but, you know, there's been times in the past where that's come out.
But overall, I've never said don't do it because I know the parties involved. I've never said don't do it. I like her. She's very nice. You're a very nice, upstanding person. And I think the two of you are a good match. So I never once said don't do it. I said in general, don't do it.
Right.
I will say this. I've always been the kind of person that has like thought that getting married before you're... Well, listen, I did it. I got married at 29. I got divorced at 49, you know? So, I mean, it was a 20-year run of 17 years of marriage and then separation and then ultimately divorce. And I admit I'm a little bitter. I'm a little jaded towards marriage to the point now where, if a young person were to say to me, you know, what's your advice when it comes to marriage? I'd say, hey, as a guy, wait till you're at least 40. Make your money, get through your 30s, have your fun, see the world if you can. And then when you're 40-ish, you can still find a partner who's younger and who can still have babies. And then if you have babies between 40 and 50, I'm telling you right now, you're 70 and your kid is 20, graduated high school, college, and as a 70-year-old, you're young because you got young kids. I know plenty of 70-year-old dudes that have 21-year-old kids and they're young guys.
I had a friend in high school who her dad was like in his 60s. When we were graduating and I was like, that's so old.
Right.
And now I'm like, I don't sound that bad.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty good.
Like, Browner, you're not buying what I'm selling, are you, Browner?
No, man. There's a part about being a parent that playing with your kids, being able to run with them, being able to, whether it be now, if you're not an athletic parent, then this conversation isn't for you. But if you played sports growing up or you were athletic, being able to share that with your kid and get out there and play with them, play a game of one-on-one or kick a soccer ball, throw a football, whatever the case may be, swing a baseball bat, you know, do some BP, like being able to do those things while you're still active and can talk trash to them and beat them.
Yeah.
That's important to athletic parents. I know you went out there with your son a couple times and had to show him the business. Now imagine being 70 and trying to do that.
Well, also if you have kids, is hip gone. At what point do you
fall,
like
your hips gone?
Hip gone.
Like Scott, you're not there yet, but at what point do you start thinking like, you know what? A grandkid would be dope. You know, because if you do that at 70, if you're 70 and your kid's 20, like your chances are you're not meeting that grandkid.
Well, but you see the thing that Browner got the math all wrong. No, Browner, you got the math all wrong, dog. Because if you're 45 years old, and you have a kid and the kid's playing little league at 10 and you're 55, you're still fine to get out there and run around with the kid and throw the ball
Scott's
around.
Scott's talking about himself right now.
Yeah.
Fam, you about to tear a hamstring. What you talk about? 55. You ain't running nowhere with no 10-year-old.
Oh,
no,
by the way, we gotta come back.
You know how many people I've known who have torn their ACL jumping over a toy in the house?
Speaking of torn hamstrings and ATLs, we have to get back to the decathlon once we all reconvene at some point. We have
once the wedding's over.
We gave everybody a little tease and like We gotta go back.
Yeah, the long drive competition was no fun. I mean, we got to get into real athletic events. The free throw shooting, the field goal kicking, the soccer, the swimming. We got to get back to all of the decathlon. I'm with you. All right, listen, let me say this. Alex today is in his final day of you know, the show. And tomorrow we'll have a best of show. And that is because Alex is going to be getting into wedding prep. I got baby mama drama, and I got to go deal with all of that tomorrow. Next week, by the way, Grande's off the air Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Browner takes control of the entire operation, and Lawhead sits in the third chair. So we got everything covered. And I want to tell you, Alex, what you probably don't know, and I don't know if I'll just say it. I have received so many direct messages from great friends who've heard our conversations about how you're not going to put up a QR code. You're not giving anybody your Venmo. You know, you're not giving people your home address. You don't want gifts. People have been hitting me up on direct messages saying, okay, where can I send a gift to Alex? And
are you responding?
I'm responding. I'm going to give anybody who asks, I'm giving them, I have a PO box. It's not my home address. I have a PO box, and I'm going to give people that PO box. And if people want to send you a gift, you can't say no. And if they do, wonderful. If they don't, no sweat. I'm not putting it out on the show.
I'm not a dick. Like, if someone sends me something, I'm not going to be like, no, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm not putting it out on the show. I'm not putting it on social media. If somebody wants to speak to me and direct message me and say, how do I send Alex a gift? You hit me up. I'll give you an address of a PO box. And you know who's the first person that asked, by the way?
Tommy.
No.
Although, Joe Rigby.
Oh, well, by the way, a couple of quick things. Shout out to Tommy. This Friday night, Tommy is performing his finale to his stand-up comedy classes. And that's happening on Friday night down in Point Loma. And I'm trying to make it down there to support my man.
When is it?
It's Friday night.
This Friday?
Yeah. You want to go?
Okay, let me. Yeah, probably. I could probably go and support Tom.
Yeah. All right.
Support of Double T.
Yeah. So so Friday night, Tommy's got his comedy show. And he's the headliner, by the way. So I'm going to try and make that on Friday night. Juliana and Joe Rigby both have been asking, how do they send a gift? And so I love those guys. I'm willing to give them my PO box. And again, if anybody wants it, you can get a hold of me directly.
We got the Mars mom brought the envelope sized gift box.
Yeah.
To the house yesterday. Yeah. The gifts have been coming in already too.
So. I love it, man. I think it's awesome.
Yeah. Mars still here. So I'll just keep this one later. When she leaves, I'll say it out loud.
Okay,
she could hear me right now.
All right. Hey, listen, while we're getting started here today, I noticed that Grande is rocking his Lakers hoodie. I'm going to tell you guys that I was watching some of the World Series last night, a no-hitter thrown by the Houston Astros pitching staff. Pretty amazing, actually, because it wasn't one guy who, you know, it was left in to see if he can finish it off. This isn't game 82. This is the World Series. So, if you're managing, you're like, look, yeah, he's got a no-hitter through six, but I got an entire bullpen here ready to go. I'm pulling this guy out. I'm bringing these guys in. And the Astros pitching staff itself no-hits the Phillies the night after the Phillies have this historic, you know, home run barrage. So all these guys last night, and for those of you that are watching on TV or watching on YouTube, we put it up on the screen. Here's how it all went down. Six innings pitched, nine strikeouts. One inning, three strikeouts. One inning, one strikeout. Last inning, one strikeout, no hitter for the Houston Astros last night.
You thought that was impressive?
You didn't?
I didn't.
Really?
No. You know how many times we see guys come out the bullpen and not give up a hit? Like a guy did a no hit. The sixth inning is utterly impressive. That's impressive to me. You've been through the lineup a couple times. They've seen you, and you still were able to hold them hitless. For a guy to come out of the bullpen and get three outs and then go out of the game, that's not impressive to me.
I think no hitting the Phillies is very impressive. For as hot as they have been all postseason, to not give up a single hit to that lineup, that's very impressive. Now, if you want to like get all minute about it and say, well, the bullpen did their job, okay. But still, not giving up a single hit to that lineup, the way they've been playing, can you not say that's not impressive?
The night before, they...
Like, if you want to call it a no-hitter and, like, you know, we can get into semantics of the no-hitter of it all. But just not allowing a hit to that lineup, come on.
I mean, the night before, they hit all these bomb home runs, monster shots. And people were talking about how the Phillies' bats can't be slowed down. And the next night, as a staff, not as an individual player, but as an entire staff, they no hit the red hot Phillies. So yeah, Brown, I mean, I'm kind of impressed, but here was my point. I left the World Series game. I got to the Lakers last night against the Pelicans because I really kind of wanted to see what it's going to look like with Russ coming off the bench and looking like a happy player all of a sudden. And I also wanted to see Zion on the other side, who is just such a monster. I mean, now that he looks like he's kind of back into shape, you just realize like how great he was projected to be because he's so big and so strong and he's so fast. So I was really excited to watch this Laker game last night. Grande, I see you got on your hoodie. We'll talk a little bit more about it, but that was an incredible win last night for the Lakers. And I got it. It's only the seventh game of the season, and it's only their second win, and they started off 0-5. But, I mean, Brown is a pure basketball fan. That was a fun game to watch. And when you're getting contributions from guys that are kind of what you would call no-name players, that was probably the most fun I've had watching a Laker game since the bubble season.
You know who always plays well against New Orleans?
Who dat?
Anthony Davis.
He played well last night.
Do it again. Let's see him do it again.
He's actually been really good this year.
Yeah, it's not just him, man. It's the other guys.
He's the key, though.
Dude, you know who's really good?
Lonnie Walker, and you should apologize to him?
Why?
Because last week you were like, if your leading scorer, if your best player is Lonnie Walker, you got problems.
I still think that's accurate. I'm not apologizing.
Yeah. Okay. Lonnie Walker, he's an emerging talent.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he is.
Oy,
yeah.
Yikes.
Scouting eyes right here.
Say he's
scouting
a crazy athlete.
All right, hold on. Right. Let me do this. Let's keep rolling. We're just getting going. We're in the 7 Mile Casino Studios. This is Kaplan and Crew. Hey, everybody. What's happening? Thursday afternoon, Kaplan and Crew on the radio airwaves of 1090, on the stream of YouTube, on television, on cable TV, part of the Cox Your View Network, all the different audio podcast platforms, and every other way you can possibly reach us, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. Hopefully, by the way, you're part of our weekly newsletter. If you're not, all you have to do is go to kaplanandcrew.com, scroll to the bottom of the page, give us your email, and we update you on things that are going on around the show on Fridays. We usually send those emails out. So it's only once a week. We don't spam you. We're not sending you stuff every day. We're not selling you anything. It's just being part of the community around here. And so make sure you go to kaplanandcrew.com, the website, scroll to the bottom, give us your email. You'll be part of our email list. All right, Grande Brown, man. Fellas, we have a very limited amount of time again today because of the World Series on 1090. So I want to try and squeeze in a lot. We were started to talk about the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
What a great win last night. And here's why I say a great win. Lakers have a big lead going into half. Here comes New Orleans in the second half with a 15-0 run. Lakers kind of stop it by scoring a few at the end of the third quarter. They've got a little bit of a lead. It's going to be a battle in the fourth quarter. It looks like New Orleans is going to win. New Orleans is up by 3. They miss 2 free throws with like a second and a half to go. LeBron gets the rebound, calls a timeout. Austin Reeves inbounds a perfect pass like Tom Brady, man.
Oh,
like from
chef's kiss pass.
Tom Brady to like Julian Edelman, you know? And there you have this great pass that goes to this guy, Matt Ryan. You mean to tell me LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook, all these guys on this team, Lonnie Walker's having the game of his life, and the guy they're going to ask to shoot the last 3 is a guy by the name of Matt Ryan? Well, guess what? Great pass. Guy steps and shoots, drains the 3, overtime. Lakers go to overtime and wind up winning the game. I'm telling you guys right now, probably the most fun I've had watching a Laker game since maybe the bubble season. Last year was painful. It was painful to watch. Alex,
yeah,
you are the resident Laker fan. What'd you think mm-hmm. about last night's win?
I liked the win is fine. You know, I liked what I'm seeing, like little things that I'm seeing. Like Russell Westbrook off the bench is actually working, which is impressive in its own. The fact that I don't know if I said this here on my podcast. I don't remember. But the bar is so low for that guy, you know, like he's getting paid $45 million and not one single Laker fan expects him to play like a $45 million player. The bar is so low. Just don't do dumb stuff and just be a positive influence when you are on the court.
Let me ask
you this.
Let me ask you this. Were you surprised last night? He had a great first half. He made some incredible passes. He looked really unselfish. I think LeBron rewarded him when he made a great pass to LeBron, and then they were coming down the floor the next trip, and LeBron was like, okay, well, there's Russ, because he gave one to me. I'm going to give it right back to him. Uh-huh. And yes, in the third quarter, I felt like he kind of made some wild, you know, through the lane kind of missed layups. But were you surprised? I know I was. As well as Russ had been playing in that game, he really had nothing to do with the end of the regulation or really the overtime.
Yeah, he was playing bad. That's why. I mean, I think he still gets into like Russ, triple-double Russ sometimes. He's still adjusting. He had three straight turnovers. He shot a three with like 20 seconds on the shot clock.
Bad shot.
And I think Darvin Ham's like, okay, let's rein it back. Let's pull it back a little bit. And like, I guess to your guys' point, like, I think if Vogel does this, like, Russ is pouting the entire time. But with Ham, he's not.
Well, how about this? When Ryan hit the three-point shot that tied the game, did you see Russ's reaction?
Yeah, he was fired up.
Oh, my God. You didn't see
Thomas Bryant.
Oh, dude.
I'll play it.
Wait, you have to. Okay, we'll play the video for you. For those of you that are watching, for those of you that are listening, you'll hear it. But listen, watch Russ's reaction. Think about this. He's sitting out. It's crunch time. It's winning or losing time. And as energetic as he was, he's on the bench. And watch Russell Westbrook's reaction to Matt Ryan hitting the game-tying three. This tells you everything you need to know about who Russ is becoming versus who he was a year ago. Play this.
Game on the line. He throws it cross court. Matt Ryan's three. Good! He hit it! Matt Ryan falling out of bounds! And we're going overtime on the ESPN LA Lakers Radio Network!
Every moment of the...
All right, nice call by my man, John Ireland. You couldn't see the video as well there, but I was watching it on TV. Russ is sitting at the end of the bench.
Almost caught the ball.
Ryan hits the shot, and Russ, he's not like hanging his head like, oh, man, we're going overtime, and I didn't contribute. He's freaking jacked. He's stoked. This guy, Matt Ryan, was doing DoorDash deliveries a year ago, and Russ is right there, and he sees the ball get drained, and he goes after him, and he's screaming, and he's yelling. Russ is having fun, man.
It's hard not to get excited in a moment like that. I don't care who you are or what kind of energy you have about the game or your role in the organization. When a shot like that happens, the energy is undeniable. It doesn't matter what sport you is. If that's a hockey goal, that's
I cussed a lot game, at home.
Yeah, dude, like you cannot help but get excited. A Laker fan probably ran around their house on that shot, and it's because of who made the shot.
Like I would say, though, that his energy – the difference of his energy of the first five games to the last – or the first four games to the last three, it's palpable. Mm-hmm. You could see the difference in his attitude. And I think the narrative was getting so negative around the guy that I would bet money that he was sat down by his team and be like, bro, you want to keep playing in this league and making some money, you got to do something. Because if you keep going down this path, it's so negative around you right now. You could be like on veteran minimum next year.
Or
like, I genuinely think his team sat him down and I think they told him your future is in play this year. Mm-hmm. It's not just you. It's not just Russell Westbrook as a Laker. Mm-hmm. It's Russell Westbrook as an NBA player this year. Mm-hmm. I genuinely think he got sat down and I think he's like, you know what? I think he actually listened.
Well, I will tell you guys this. I was really impressed last night because guys who I really didn't expect anything from, Troy Brown, I didn't know who Troy Brown really was. Lonnie Walker. Dude, I had to start, like last night, I was like, you know what? I'm going to start researching these dudes and find out what their deal is. These are like 23-year-old guys that I think were one-and-done college players. Like the guy Lonnie Walker was the best basketball player in the state of Pennsylvania his senior year of high school and then went to the University of Miami. As best I can tell, was a one-and-done guy, got drafted in the middle of the first round by San Antonio and has been playing there for like 3-4 years. No one really thinks that much of him. The Lakers are like, we need bodies. He was a guy who in high school, he's like a high school All-American. This guy.
Don't get it twisted. This guy, this roster, it shows you every game, even the two games that they've won. And that Sunday game last Sunday when they didn't have AD and they lost, or Friday when they lost to the Wolves. This roster is still not good. No. So the moment they don't give it 100% effort, the moment that they let up a little bit, you see teams make runs. Yesterday, the Pelicans, they had a, what? They had a 12-point lead, the Lakers?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like a 15-2 run, the Lakers. And then all of a sudden, they kind of let off the gas a little bit. They don't go as aggressive on the defensive end. They start missing wide open threes. And teams could just come back on them right away.
All I'm saying is, my point is that guys like Lonnie Walker and Troy Brown, and I was thinking about you last night, Browner, when you're a high school All-American and you are, you know, being highly recruited and you're a one-and-done talent and you're a first-round pick, but you're only 23 years old, you've not taken the league by storm. You're not a superstar, but you are a very talented young player who's now with a new coach in a new system and having to play with LeBron James. And I say having to, like, you're probably starstruck by LeBron James. This is only 7 games in, and all I'm telling you guys is I'm seeing improvement. That's what I'm telling you.
Troy Brown Jr. is a very good average NBA player. He's a good 3-and-D guy. He's totally dependent on the environment around.
He's their only 3-and-D guy.
Lonnie Walker is the exact same way. He is athleticism is as good as it comes, but he's only as good as the system around him. You will get the best version of Lonnie Walker if LeBron and AD and Russ play to their maximum roles. Lonnie Walker will be unbelievable because now he's the fourth guy. Like him as the fourth guy, he can look really good.
Well, he did last night because there were some
second
dunks.
Guy, some athletic.
Yeah, well, but he doesn't need to be the second guy.
That's my whole point.
You know, but I will say this, watching the game last night, I don't know if you heard this or not, Alex, but Stu Lance on the Spectrum Sportsnet broadcast, he's like, Lonnie Walker could turn into your number three.
Stop it.
So I'm just telling you what Stu Lance said. I'm not telling you he's right or wrong. I'm just telling you what I heard him say.
Listen,
yeah, I don't know, but what I do know is that he is like the best athlete the Lakers have had in a very long time.
Yeah.
I think his ability to jump, his speed, his quickness, it's visible.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice
it
to
translates.
Watch. Hey, let me tell you guys this, though, because we don't have that much time. So I saw, speaking of like guy, like Russ has gone from in just a few games, like big pain in the ass and total negativity around him. And then you look at what's happening with Kyrie Irving. And I love how yesterday Kyrie Irving makes a $500,000 donation as if, you know what? I posted all this anti-Semitic stuff. I kind of tried to fight off the media, but you know what? I'll make a donation, which by the way, 500 grand is a lot of money. Not to Kyrie, but it is to me, but that ought to do it. Hey, back off everybody. Yeah, I'm anti-Semitic, but I also just gave you a bunch of money. So leave me the hell alone. You know what? You know, that's weak, man. That is weak. You know, when Michael Vick got out of jail on dogfighting charges, Michael Vick didn't make some great donation. He actually went to work, like fixing what was wrong kind of with him and with that community. Like he did the work, at least as I recall. You're just going to give money and walk away. So Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, he had a statement, Alex, you could probably put it up on the screen, but it's about time somebody in the NBA, especially the boss, kind of took a hard stand, you know, and didn't just kiss his ass. Like it seems like everybody else has been doing, kissing his ass and protecting. Go ahead, Alex, put it up on the screen. Let's see what Adam Silver had to say.
Working
yeah,
on
I
it.
Can tell.
There you go.
All right, read it if you don't mind, because I can't see it.
Statement from Commissioner, quote, Kyrie Irving made a reckless decision to post a link to a film containing deeply offensive anti-Semitic material. While we appreciate the fact that he agreed to work with the Brooklyn Nets and the Anti-Defamation League to combat anti-Semitism and other forms of discrimination, I'm disappointed that he has not offered an unqualified apology and more specifically denounced the vile and harmful content contained in the film he chose to publicize. I will be meeting with Kyrie in person in the next week to discuss the situation.
Good. It's like it's about time somebody in the NBA goes, you know what? This guy represents our league and he's making us all look like a bunch of jerks. I mean, Shaquille O'Neal said it the other night. Now, Kyrie spoke earlier today. And by the way, I realize that, you know, San Diego sports fans are not huge NBA fans necessarily, but we like a good story. And this one is juicy. So here's what Kyrie said earlier. Let's take a listen.
Week of hindsight. Are you sorry for the hurt that your post caused people?
I take my responsibility for posting that. Some things that were questionable in there, untrue. Like I said, in the first time you guys asked me when I was sitting on that stage, I don't believe everything that everybody posts. It's a documentary. So I'll take my responsibility.
Adam Silver wanted to hear the word "I apologize," or in your mind, you said, "I didn't mean to cause any harm." Were you apologizing, or you're not apologizing?
I didn't mean to cause any harm. I'm not the one that made the documentary.
Do you have any anti-Semitic beliefs?
Again, I'm going to repeat. I don't know how the label becomes justified, because you guys ask me the same questions over and over again. But this is not going to turn into a spin-around cycle, questions upon questions. I told you guys how I felt. I respect all walks of life and embrace all walks of life. That's where I sit.
I think what people want to hear, though, is just a yes or no on that question. Yes or no.
I cannot be anti-Semitic if I know where I come from. I cannot be anti-Semitic if I know where I come from.
He's such an asshole. He really is.
Look, man. Hey,
God, I can't stand that guy.
Adam Silver needs to suspend this guy indefinitely. Because this is, and if he has to fight the NBA Players Association over this, then so be it. This guy's bad for business.
Yep. Now, and by the way, he's bad for the Players Association too, because why does everybody have to defend this guy?
He's bad for business. Like, this basketball, as much as I love the pure nature of basketball, at the root of it, at that level, it is a business more than it is a game. Okay? Because if they stop paying you, a lot of these dudes will stop playing. So it's a business. This guy is bad for business. Just like all that side talk about China, that was bad for business. So they made guys stop doing it. They suspended Daryl Morey for it. There's precedent to sit this guy down indefinitely because he is bad for business. Period. Period. Whether it be
Why do we as a society make people apologize? Like, what is, if Kyrie Irving today told those reporters, "I'm sorry, and no, I am not anti-Semitic," do you feel different about Kyrie Irving
today?
Not
one bit.
So why do we force this guy, and why do we bash this guy for him being him? Like, I don't agree with him. I didn't agree with him on the vaccination stance, but at least he owned it. This is just him being pressured by whoever to even speak to people.
Right.
But like, why?
Right. I made because a donation. I'm good.
If he comes out, okay, right. And now everybody's making fun of the donation. So why do we do this? There's nothing the dude can say that will come out here and make everybody feel better.
No.
Like, Kyrie Irving is who he is.
Right. But we're
Browner. Let him be.
I like what Browner's saying, which is, at some point, if the league punishes him, and by the way, I know we don't have that much time left, and I do want to get to one other story before we get done with this. So here's my final thought. If the league would punish him, maybe he would stop feeling so entitled. Like, there's consequences to what I
but
do.
Is it hurting? What? I don't know the answer. Maybe you guys do. What businesses have pulled out of working with the NBA because of what he said?
I'll say this.
How is he hurting the league?
The image of the league.
The image of the league does not, trust me. There's many images of the league. Kyrie Irving is not hurting the image of the league. I can guarantee you that.
When you speak negatively about a race of people, that's bad for business.
But has the NFL ran
Colin Kaepernick out of the league because he spoke bad about a section that got upset about it?
All I'm asking is the business, and I don't agree with what Kyrie.
I understand what you're saying.
But I'm saying, what monetary business has Kyrie impacted negatively in the NBA?
It's a good question, and I don't know the answer. I mean, did
so,
all
like,
of a sudden,
why would they suspend him?
Well, I think suspending him would be a signal to say, hey, Kyrie, you got to stop doing what you're doing, because why is it that the entire league has to be impacted by what you do? You know, like,
But is the league being impacted by what he did?
I think it is.
Yes. To the question that Alice asked, could he have said anything that could have changed people's opinions about him? You say no, I disagree with that. If he literally watched that film and thought those things were inaccurate now, because he said he watched it, I don't believe he watched it, but he said it. If he watched that film and felt like, oh, wait, these things misrepresent me, speak about the things that misrepresented what you retweeted, and then tell people why you feel the way you feel, period. This is what he had that opportunity. He got all negative in Northeast Africa. That's what
he got.
He could have given an explanation about that, but he didn't. He was mad smug about it.
Smart enough. He's just smart enough.
He's just annoying.
Because every time you ask him, he's like, "You're not going to do this to me. You're not going to dehumanize me." Like, because he doesn't know.
He's just so annoying. And I'm just with Shaq. Final thought. I'm with Shaq. Everybody winds up having to speak for this idiot. Like, and
somebody be with me. Let's stop talking about it.
Mm. All right, listen, let me do this.
Because he doesn't matter.
All right, let me do this here because we're running out of time. 7 Mile Casino is where we're at. 7milecasino.com is we're in the studios. Obviously, I'm running out of time and I'm kind of hustling now. Hey, listen, one story that we haven't talked about that I really wanted to just mention. Have you guys seen the story of the quarterback from Carlsbad High School who yesterday announced on ESPN that he's accepted a scholarship to Alabama? I got to tell you guys, it's super cool. I love watching kids like Chris Olave, for example, play at Mission Hills High, go to Ohio State and become a star, and then become a first-round draft choice of the New Orleans Saints. I love watching local kids go from high school sports to college sports, and if they're really good enough, get a chance to play pro sports. This young man from Carlsbad High School, think about that. Of all the kids in the country that Alabama is recruiting, they're recruiting the very, very best of the best. You got one of the best high school quarterbacks in the entire country right here in San Diego County, and the kid is going to Alabama. And by the way, taking the Alabama scholarship, you talk about the pressure, meaning like it's not, there's 10 quarterbacks, and every one of those guys is considered one of the top 50, top 100. This guy could have gone anywhere, LSU, Georgia, USC, wherever. He chose to go to Alabama. To me, it just takes a lot of courage. You know, like maybe it seems easy, like, hey, I'm going to Alabama. Yeah, but now you got to go there and work, and now you got to get on the field, and then you got to become the starter. This is all, if you're going to become the next Mac Jones, because you're not a Tua type, yikes, and you're not what's the kid's name in Philadelphia whose name I just lost?
Jalen Hurts.
And you're not a Jalen Hurts type, and you're more of a Mac Jones type. You got to first go there, get into the program, work really hard, get the starting job. I mean, it's an amazing story. I mean, kids get big-time scholarships all the time. USC, UCLA, Oregon, San Diego State. But a quarterback from San Diego County going to Alabama? That's pretty damn impressive, fellas.
I mean, he deserves it. He's like the number one ranked California quarterback, or the number one quarterback, so... I mean, Browner, if you say
Browner, look San Diego at, State, look be, at that.
If you say anything about San Diego State with this guy, people can't see your face.
Your face is saying that you're very skeptical about something.
Because I texted my friends who are USC fans, and I was like, Lincoln Riley, what are you doing? But I knew your face. You're thinking San Diego State. Get at
me. Oh, no, I don't think he's thinking San Diego State. I actually think there's something else going on inside of that brain. Here's what I'll say to everybody. If you're listening on radio, we're handing off to the World Series. If you're watching on YouTube, what is in Browner's head? We'll all find out together with a separate ending. We'll see you guys later. Peace out, everybody.
There you go.
All right. Finished up with the radio portion of today's show. Browner, what was that look?
Yo, man, look. I don't like bashing kids. I'm not in the business of doing that. Listen, I hope that this kid is a good quarterback at Alabama. The idea that he's going to be Mac Jones, that's not a banner to fly. Congratulations to Mac Jones.
I have a question. If you're being recruited by Alabama and Nick Saban from Carlsbad, mm-hmm. California, and you have this, you know, national reputation as being one of the top high school quarterbacks in the country and playing mm-hmm. in the open division of the CIF championships and having the best high school football team. And by the way, a tight end who's going to Michigan and receivers that are probably going places. I mean, it's a really impressive program that Carlsbad has built, so that you have a quarterback that's being recruited by, and you're trying to figure it out. Do I want Georgia, Alabama, or LSU? The SEC schools that prepare kids to go to the NFL, that's where this kid had the chance to go. So
I'm going. If he should have gone to USC,
well, now hold on. You say
they got the number one Texas guy,
and they got this kid from Los Alamitos High School, who's also considered one of the best high school quarterbacks in the country. Who I know he committed to USC, then he was opening up his recruitment, and he was going to Texas A&M to visit. But what I'm saying is that when you're this highly recruited, that you're willing to go to Alabama, that they want you.
But what's wrong with being Mac Jones? I mean, not the NFL Mac Jones. The college Mac Jones was third in. He was a Heisman finalist. He won a national championship. Like, what's wrong with being Mac Jones?
And he became a number. He became a first round draft choice and became an NFL starting quarterback. So, I'm comparing him to Mac Jones because he's a tall, skinny, thus far white guy quarterback. And maybe I haven't seen him play enough. Maybe he's more like Josh Allen than he is like Mac Jones. But he's not like Tua, and he's not like Jalen Hurts. And so, is that what that face was? Oh, you don't want to be the next Mac Jones?
Yeah, I wish this kid the best of luck. Mac Jones sat at Alabama for a very long time before he played. Nowadays, a kid won't sit that long; they transfer. The next Mac Jones won't be at Alabama for 4 years to get his chance the fourth year through happenstance of guys going here and there and then Mac just being there. I hope this kid gets to Alabama, is the starter at day one, and sets the thing on fire. I don't believe that'll happen because, just like you said, the top quarterback is totally dependent on which recruiting system you use, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, I wish him the best. Like I
said,
I don't seem skeptical
that the kid's not really this good.
I don't bash kids.
What's the bash? There's nothing to bash. I mean, I haven't gone to see him play at Carlsbad High. Have you?
No. I've seen him on video.
Yeah, me too. I've seen him on highlights. That's right. And kid,
he looks like he's like 5'6" and 120.
No, but I think he's more like 6'4" and like 200 pounds, and he's tall and lean.
I never heard of the kid till today.
Oh, really? Oh, I've been following his career for the last 2+ years.
Well, I have.
I know you don't follow high school football like I do.
I don't follow high school football
at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I follow high school football. I especially follow high school football that's up here in North County. And in the Avocado League, where, you know, my son played high school ball. So I think I find it interesting
that, you know, UCLA is having a resurgence under Chip Kelly. Lincoln Riley's at USC, mm-hmm. and Nick Saban can still come in here and grab these kids.
The best of the best.
In their backyard. Right.
But here's the thing. The track record of those two guys at quarterback versus the track record of Nick Saban at quarterback. Of the three, give me the other two other than Nick Saban.
Let me tell you how wrong
Lincoln
that is.
Riley had Baker Mayfield was a Heisman winner, number one pick. Jalen Hurts was in Oklahoma too. What do you mean?
Yeah, so look, dude, wait, here's what I'm saying. That Nick Saban had Tua. Before that, he had Jalen Hurts, and he had Mac Jones. He produces NFL quarterbacks, does he not?
Just recently. Because before that, it was A.J. McCarron.
That's what I'm saying.
A.J. McCarron was an NFL quarterback.
Yeah, but...
Because he was at Alabama losing one game a year because the defense had seven pros on it.
All I'm saying to you is that going to Alabama... And by the way, Browner, I actually tend to agree with you. Here's the thing I agree with you on. You go to Alabama at a high school, and you're a superstar quarterback, and you get there, and you see that... There's three or four other guys just like you that were parade All-Americans or were All-State or Mr. Football in their state or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you're like, my goodness, when I'm at Carlsbad High, I'm the man. When I'm at Alabama, I'm fifth string. Now, how am I going to get to first string? And if in your second year or your third year, you're second or third string, you're like, guess what? I got to go someplace else. Because I'm not gonna play enough here.
Because next year, some other kid, some five-star kid from somewhere else who's supposed to be the best quarterback in this class chose Alabama.
Jalen Hurts had to leave Alabama to go play at Oklahoma because Tua had taken the job.
Exactly.
Baker Mayfield had to leave Texas Tech to go to Oklahoma because Patrick Mahomes had taken the job.
Joe Burrow left Ohio State
to go to LSU because somebody
it happens.
Dude.
Justin Fields left Georgia.
JT Daniels left USC.
I mean, Keaton Slovis left USC. Yeah. I mean, this is...
It happens.
All I'm saying is, though, is that if you can go to Alabama at a high school, if you're recruited from Carlsbad to Alabama, you take that opportunity, you get there. If you don't think you're going to play fast enough or you're not going to fast track to the NFL, then guess what? You're an Alabama quarterback and you got lots of opportunity elsewhere.
And I think he'll immediately get like some $500,000 deal for going to Alabama, probably.
Probably so. Probably get a really nice NIL deal.
Yeah. But what's wrong with sitting for a year?
No, Not one thing wrong.
Not in today's society, it ain't.
If I'm the number one quarterback, I'm the number two quarterback in the nation. I'm the number one quarterback in California. I'm pretty sure wherever I'm going, I already have some money lined up.
And I'm pretty sure that I have
That could be a bigger factor than being a starter.
Who's nowadays. The number? If he's the number two quarterback, I wonder if is the Manning kid who's going to Texas, is he the number one guy?
Number two according to who? And that's what I'm saying. Number
according
one.
According to whatever it is. Whatever.
Right. Whoever. Rivals.com. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a bunch of them. My point is, if you don't start right away, next year, there could be a kid that commits like Arch Manning. Decides not the actual Arch, but someone similar to Arch Manning. Some once-in-a-generation, quote-unquote, talent. Comes to Alabama the next year and you out of there.
This kid's going in 2024, right? He's a junior.
No, he's going to Texas next year.
No, the saying.
I thought he was a senior this year.
I thought it was 2024.
Oh, check me on that. I thought he was committed to Alabama because he's a senior right now.
I don't know.
All right, whatever. Hey, look, either way, bottom line. Here's the bottom line. Good luck to this kid.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, he's a junior.
Say again, Alex?
He's a junior.
He's a junior right now?
This is for 2024. Yeah.
You know that.
Well, that's going to change.
Congratulations to that kid. Congratulations to Carlsbad High School and their football program for being able to produce these kinds of talents have Alabama on their campus.
That's very true.
It's super cool. I thought the kid was a senior.
Nope.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure he's going 2024.
Wow. Super.
Because the Arch kid is – the Manning kid is the number one this year.
Right.
Yeah, and I thought the number one guy in California
this year –
He's
going to Texas?
Yep.
Well, that's he committed to that. I thought the number one guy in California this year was the kid from Los Alamitos High School. What's his name? You guys won't know.
He went to USC.
Well, he committed to USC.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, let me just say this. We're getting ready to get out of here. Tomorrow's a best of show, and it's a full show, and it's a full best of. Okay. That'll be on radio tomorrow because I got baby mama. Friday show. Then next week, after Alex's wedding on Sunday, me, Browner, and Lawhead will take it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of next week. And that'll be fun. And then Grande will be back, and I think the whole crew will be back together again. It's going to be a week. It'll be next Friday, I think, by the time the whole team is back together again. You know. And I just want to say this to everybody. For those of you that are still watching on YouTube that have asked me for my P.O. box, because you want to send Alex a gift that's really generous and really sweet.
Money.
No pressure. But if that's what you would like to do, directly contact me, Facebook, instant messenger, or direct message, Instagram, direct message, Twitter, if you need to get a hold of me, cited.
On behalf of Alex, I don't mean to interrupt you, but on behalf of Alex, because he will never say this because he's a good person, I am not. Do not send anything but money, okay? He doesn't care. He doesn't want. It's sweet of you. He appreciates the offer, but he doesn't have space to take in some gift that you think would be nice for him. He don't want your alcohol. He don't want no elephant. No, nothing.
Alcohol.
If it ain't cash or alcohol, there you go. If it ain't cash or alcohol, keep it.
Listen,
I think you will suffice.
Listen. I got a Nutribullet. I got an air fryer. I got a toaster oven. I got it all. I got a cast iron skillet. I got, by the way, I don't have a conventional oven. I have a very fancy stove that requires certain pots that you guys don't know. Because I can't even tell you what it is. I thank you all. I appreciate you all. Nothing but love to everybody.
Yeah.
So whatever you send, I will take it. But yeah, don't send anything
Don't send anything that takes up space. I got a one bedroom condo, pal.
Yeah.
Hey, listen.
You guys ready? Did you get an email from Mar today?
I didn't. Not yet.
Today?
I think you should check your email.
Okay. Checking my email.
She put it in big bold letters for John Browner.
Oh, come on. I'm going to get my suit out to clean us after this too.
Wait, here it is. I just got it. Hi, family and friends. We're excited about Sunday. Here's the location. Start time is 5. Dress code is semi-formal. Okay, so that's the first. That's one email. And here's another one.
Did you get two from her?
Okay.
Yeah, you got the ceremony. All
right, here's
one
the
too.
Ceremony one. We're asking everyone to arrive no later than 2 p.m. in bold. And it. Oh, my God. I can't believe what it says. Oh, my God. I can't believe she put this in an email.
What'd she say?
This means you, Browner. Oh, my God.
What it says.
She
I'm looking
says
at
that.
Oh, there it is.
This means you, Browner.
She put it in there.
Oh, my God. Hilarious.
No, she did put this line for Browner. You can't easily sneak in last minute. Especially you, dude.
You ain't sneaking in.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. Yeah,
You are not sneaking in. All right. So look, Alex, I'm really excited for you, dude.
The door's closed. I could say it now. Remember that fancy engagement party we went to? They don't watch the show. They don't give a fuck. We got their wedding present already. Stands pat.
Nice.
It's in line. With their engagement party.
Nice. That's good. You showed up. You missed it. You missed a very important sport.
I was like, yo, that now is worth going to that engagement party. Thanks.
Right.
All right.
Wait, so the fancy engagement party that you went to on the day that you missed the game, what is it that happened?
They sent in their gift.
And you've seen it, but she hasn't?
No, that she told me about it.
Oh, and what's the deal?
It's good stuff.
Is it a lot of money?
Look at this guy.
Generous.
Wow.
All right, we got to go, Scott. You got things to do.
All right, listen, we got to roll. We're out of here. We'll see everybody back here on Monday. Much love. Peace out.